This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Forget Norway, they crucified Jesus Christ. I'll never forget Norway, they sold Marcus Garvey for rice. I'll never forget Norway, they turned their backs on Paul Bogle. Hey, so don't you forget who you are and where you stand in the struggle.
Good afternoon. What a breezy, sunny, beautiful day it is here in New Providence, City Nassau in the Bahamas, transmitting from Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. The show is Remark. I am your host, Carlos Roseboro, joined always with your great co-host, Darvin Russell, who is here with me again today. And we want to get you involved in the show. It's a call-in show. Of course, we're going to throw those numbers out to you today. But it's been some time since the co-host, Darvin Russell, has invited me to have a conversation on the balancing of the budget. Now, when we talk economics, that's his thing. The thing that we most appreciate about economics is the whole idea that it speaks about money. If we were to politicize this whole conversation of money, we have to look at opportunity as citizens of this country. Are we getting a fair shake? I'm not quite certain that the majority of us are quite really interested in a balanced budget. I think what we're more concerned about is, are we being fairly taken care of in terms of our everyday lifestyle? Can we afford the basic necessities plus a little something extra? We hear this talk about surplus, deficits, and balancing of budgets. I do believe that this money talk is maybe above the head of many of us, but today here on Remark, we want to have a discussion as to break it down for you, to give you a fair understanding as to what it's really talking about. And of course, you know what I want to do. I want to compare the performance of the present government, which is the Progressive Liberal Party, and the previous administration, the Free National Movement, on their attempts of balancing a budget. We all know they borrow large sums of money. We often ask the question, where does all of this money go? Why is it that we're not feeling the wealth of these borrowed funds? Questions like, is tourism sufficient to take care of our own economy? We just have these money questions. And today, Darvin is going to introduce the program to you and give us some definitions, I hope, because like I said, when we talk of surplus, what does it mean? When we talk about deficit, what does it mean? And then what does it mean to balance a budget? Is there any country around the world that has already balanced their budget and living a very fruitful, productive, progressive, and above the glass ceiling lifestyle for its citizenry? I have heard of countries like Switzerland. I think I like the story of Switzerland. So for those of you tuning in, you may want to go on Google or do your research, go on AI, you know, chat GT or whatever, GPTV or whatever they call it. And go ahead and find out about Switzerland. I think they have a wonderful economy. where the people that I understand, they can drop money in the street and no one picks it up because they're doing so well. Maybe we need to be a little Switzerland. I do recall the days when we felt like a little Switzerland, but those were the days when we had numerous offshore banks and we were almost, as it were, the queen or the king of the Caribbean. And then, of course, the Cayman Islands took over after there were threats of blacklisting. This is another definition we probably need to look at. What does it mean to be blacklisted? And so let me throw those numbers out there to you. 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, anywhere from our family of islands, 300-5720, or you can text at 422-4796. Now, before Darwin starts the program and we take a quick break before we begin, next week I'm supposed to have back on the air Senator Darren Henfield. There is a conversation about relations with Cuba and the United States and the Caribbean and how it all affects us. I've made some attempt with our own Howard Grant and also in other spaces pertaining to this conversation, but here is a man who is a former immigration minister, and I think he would have some validity in discussing the matter. So next week, Sunday at 5, we want to have a good sit-down with our good Senator Darren Henfield. Following that, I do feel it's almost mandated that we take a look at leadership in this country. What is the definition of leadership? Because I don't think I fully am comfortable with the Bahamian people's understanding of what a leader should look like. As we now speak in geopolitical terms, are we quite prepared as a nation to join in that conversation, or are we still talking on a local level nationally as Bahamians? Well, let's take a quick break. I want to get a little bit of music in here, a little peak state, give the OJs a chance to get us in a frame of mind, and Darwin Russell, when we return, the microphone will be yours. Stay tuned.
Bring your masterpiece to life. We stand by our quality products that is second to none. Our affordable pricing and friendly, efficient staff makes Printmasters the ultimate choice for all your printing needs. We can deliver any type of printing services, from banners to booklets to business cards. You name it, we can print it.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Girl, you see how Cora eye look funny, all black up yesterday?
But she say she bump into a wall when she's running after the churn them.
Yeah, but last Saturday, you see her arm was all black and blue, right?
What you saying? You think something wrong between her and Jack?
I ain't sure, but you know Jack is a jealous man. I hear him and Cora last Friday. I hear him say he hear Cora have eyes for Junior.
Now, you know that ain't true. Cora is a good woman. Does mind her business, take care of them churn and go to church every Sunday. So what do you think we should do?
I think we should report Jack, you know. Cora don't say nothing, but silence hides violence, and we don't want to line up in the cemetery.
Not me. I ain't getting in nobody business. Then Jack come after me, and I line up next to Cora.
No, man, we could call or text Crime Stopper. And remember, we can even get some grocery money for our tip.
Remind me again how this work.
We can call them in Miami at 328-TIPS or 328-8477. Or when we in the island, call toll-free at 300-TIPS or 300-8477. And if you don't have no minutes, use the Crack Crime Bahamas app and we could text them and the messages get on mix up before it leave your phone so nobody can know what you're saying.
So what are we waiting on then? Let's go earn some grocery money.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.
I'm sick of you. I can't even go down.
Oh, I tell you, on the Sunday, I just enjoy sitting here in the studio with Guardian Radio. You know, the music, the talk, all day, every day, smart, you know. We got Wally here behind the boards, and I always appreciate him and his younger sister being here with us as they continue to give us the best service necessary to ensure that you can have yourself a wonderful, beautiful, relaxing conversation here on Sunday. Remark. Numbers are 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. Anywhere from the family of Ireland, 300-5720. Or you can text us today at 422-4796. In terms of a country, Darwin Russell, I'm going to let you introduce yourself in a minute again. But it says the balancing the budget means ensuring that government revenue, taxes, fees, etc., mm-hmm. equals or exceeds its spending, mm-hmm. expenditures on programs, services, etc. In a given period, typically a fiscal year, avoiding a deficit and promoting fiscal stability. Now, when we hear this type of definition coming from AI and from the internet, mm-hmm. The average person, we're not calling them, you know, less educated, mm-hmm. but these terminologies they've given us, really and truly, like we say in the Bahamas, we are not on that run. Mm-hmm. That ain't our kind of talk. What we want to know is, where is the money, how we could get some, how we can spend this money, and then where the rest coming from. Mm-hmm. But I just want to introduce to you a man of money. I say he got tons of money now. You know, he got some money. He looks sharp today. He looks handsome. But this Mr. Money himself, Darwin Russell, himself today.
Happy Sunday, everybody. Happy Sunday, my good friend, Mr. Garth. It is a pleasure to be here on a fantastic afternoon in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas.
Mm-hmm.
Talking money today. You know I like to talk money.
Yeah, you've been behind me for a while to talk about this money, man. So what's going on with money?
Well, I mean, you started the program today, Garth, talking about what budget balancing and budget surpluses and budget deficits mean. So I'll take off from where you left off. So when we hear these kinds of terms, sometimes people get scared about them. So let me break it down for you in the context of your own personal lives. If you take your income, your salary, and from any other sources you have, your side hustles, and that comes to, let's say, $30,000, that's your revenue. And in the language of governments, that's considered your recurring revenue.
Okay.
So you take that $30,000 and your bills in aggregate, in total for the year, end up at $28,000. That means you got $2,000 left over. We are $28,000 we would deem to be your recurrent expenditure.
Mm-hmm.
The $2,000 that you have left over, we would consider a surplus, right? And in the words of governments, that would be your budget surplus. Now, take that same example, $30,000 in income. This time you're spending $32,000 in expenses. You now have a $2,000 deficit. That deficit is what we call in government finance a GFS deficit. And it is calculated as a percentage of the government's revenue. So you would take the $2,000 and you divide it by the $30,000. Okay? The problem is when you run a series of GFS deficits, that is what constitutes your national debt. So every year when you don't operate in a surplus, you keep adding to your nation's debt.
Yes.
And that is what the Bahamas has chronically done for the last 15,
billions
20,
of dollars.
30, billions.
Billions of dollars. Dollars.
Billions of dollars.
Like over 13 billion.
Yeah, the Bahamas' deficit at this particular time, we're talking somewhere in the neighborhood of 13, I've got it right here, about $11.5 billion. The debt as a percentage of GDP is you're talking about 75,000. And that's not a function. That's not because our debt has gone down. That's because our revenue as a country has gone up. Our GDP has gone up. So while our GDP has gone up, we're still borrowing more money, but just not at the rate of growth of our income. Make sense as a country?
You got to repeat that.
Okay,
for us
sure. So when if the GDP is the collective revenue of the country, so all the value of the production of all goods and services, that number keeps going up.
Okay.
So if that number goes up by 200 million, and your debt goes up by 50 million. Mm-hmm. Your debt as a percentage of GDP goes down.
So when the government starts to tell us that they're making all this extra money, all this extra tourism dollars coming in, in spite of their effort to increase this income, this revenue, you're telling me that the our bills, the expenses, the cost of living and everything else compounded is actually going higher and higher.
That's correct. That's correct. So let me disavow you of this notion that these tourist numbers and how they impact you. That's not a function or that's not as much of a benefit to the government as you would think, because...
And that's what we want to talk about today.
So the government's revenue or benefit from that comes from port fees and those kinds of things. Mm-hmm. How that benefits you is when the tourist spends money. That benefits the private sector. That benefits the overall GDP of the country. That doesn't accrue per se directly to the government. The government only gets a portion of that total spend. Mm. So it's good. It's good for the government, but not as good as you would think it is. It's better for the overall economy. So the theory in economics is, as long as we all do well, the government should also do well. And that's proven to be true. We're just not doing well enough for us to operate into a surplus. Also bear in mind that you are still required to have a degree of fiscal discipline, which means is restraint with the spending, so that as you generate greater revenue for the government, you're not spending more than you're taking in.
Mm.
So what successive governments have had a problem with is, although they may take in more money, VAT came in, for example, in 2015, although they took in an incremental $1 billion, if you spend an incremental $1.2 billion, it seems as though the money didn't matter. And that's what Bahamians seemed to get stuck on. They were like, Darbin, how are we making all of this money and still seem to be struggling? And that's because the government is still spending more than it's taking in. And that is a chronic problem. We borrow every single year just to fund the expenses of the government. So step out of the basic understanding of economics and understand is, if we never operate in a surplus, the national debt never gets smaller. And if it never gets smaller, the interest that we pay on that debt also never gets smaller.
Do you know what you're telling me?
I'm listening.
You trying to tell me we've been failing all these years?
We have been. We have been.
What in the world are you telling me today?
Yeah, we have been.
All this hula-maboo about how much tourists coming in, all this talk about VAT and inland revenue. You're telling me today that with all of this going on, we still failing?
And you don't have to take my word for it. You could actually just do your own test. There are many business people that listen to this show. If you do business with the government in any meaningful way, ask how many of them their bills are current. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not trying to spread doom and gloom today. I'm just trying to give you the reality of government's finances. And the fact is, what we do on an annual budget cycle is just move money around within a category, but it doesn't generate more. We always say in our forecast that we're going to spend less than we earn. And we never do it. We never do it. We always spend more than we earn. We don't demonstrate the level of fiscal discipline that is required. Now, some years the deficit is much lower, and some years it's a lot higher. Obviously, in a moment in a time like COVID, you don't expect to have a balanced budget, much less a surplus, because your revenue took a nosedive. And these things are reasonable. When the Prime Minister, the current administration, came to office, they would say they met a bunch of unpaid bills. They run a deficit to try to catch up with some of the arrears. Over time, that has tapered out. In 2022, the last year that we, in the budget cycle 2022, the last time that we have data, you're talking about $722 $1 million was the deficit that year. In 2022-23 cycle, it dropped to $534 million. Mm-hmm. In 2023-24, the estimate was $131 million. And in the current budget cycle, they are estimating the lowest deficit of $69.8 million. But how many of these things are going to materialize? You will see by the end of this fiscal year, the Prime Minister mentioned borrowing an incremental $300 million.
Yes, we heard it.
You will see that they will miss this very budget that they talked about 6 months ago.
My God.
That's the reality of what we're dealing with in the country.
Let's take this quick call. Go ahead, caller. Caller, go ahead.
Hey, Mr. Burns.
Yes, sir. Right here with Darvin Russell.
Senator Romney there?
No, he's not here today. He'll probably be here next week with Senator...
No, the person Hunter. He's speaking with.
Darvin Russell. Darvin Russell.
Darvin Russell.
Darvin. D.
Okay.
D for Darvin.
What is the government's now U.S. or foreign savings? Isn't that about $3 billion to this government has put in the last 3.5 years?
What are you referencing? You're talking
about
central bank.
In U.S. savings.
No,
foreign savings.
I don't have that data in front of me. That's a central bank statistic that you. I think
okay,
you're referring
to. $3 billion dollars. Mm-hmm. Okay. Another thing too, the country has to be in a good wicket now.
Okay.
Because of the homes that are being purchased and bought, you have people in droves lining up for houses, right? Mm-hmm. So there has to be some money that is being push around in this country, but I've never seen this much people eager and hungry and ready for a home.
Mm-hmm.
So something has to be doing well.
So
what are you saying? The government is borrowing the money.
Yes.
But they're spending more than they're borrowing?
They're spending more than they're generating in income. So as I don't know when you started listening, but
no, I just called in.
Okay, not a problem. No, that's fine, and I'm glad you called. So let me help you. Let me answer the first section of what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Here's what's happening. So let us not confuse what's going on in the general economy, which is what you're talking about, with people anxious to buy homes, and what's going on with the government's revenue. Mm. They are related, but not the same. So when your overall economy is doing well, yes, you would expect things like a lot more construction going on. You would expect stuff like...
Well, a lot of construction is going on.
Right.
Do you agree with it?
Yes, I agree.
Thank you.
You would expect a lot more construction. You'd expect low unemployment numbers. You'd expect savings to start to increase with people.
I don't like the button. I like to hear what you were saying. You sound like a very, very smart gentleman,
I must
say.
Yes, sir.
But this is the lowest... one of the lowest unemployment being for a very, very long time.
Yes.
And not only that, a lot of these people who are not working now, they're not calling them unemployed no more. They just call them discouraged.
Yes, workers.
Workers.
So what that means is people who have been looking for a job and just stopped because they got discouraged. So they removed them out of the data.
They must say don't have no bills. Is that how you get discouraged
right.
Looking for no job?
I feel you on that, my brother, for sure.
Huh?
I feel you.
I eat it out of they ain't got no children, something they ain't get.
Yes.
Because I can't work. If I got to go not knocking the gas station or the sanitary products who collect the garbage, I got to do something.
I agree.
Now, until I could do better, in order for me to get to top of the ladder, I got to start climbing from the bottom.
I agree. So let me answer the housing issue.
But I got to continue listening, man. You're reading to the piece that I caught so far.
I appreciate
you're
you.
You're on the ball.
I got to answer your second question. You can hang up and listen.
Yeah, I will.
So the gentleman, he brought up some good points. So let's talk about that housing issue. So what he is alluding to is the fact that over the last several years, we know as a country and as a world, we've been experiencing high inflation.
Okay.
While people may be working, let's say you're starting to make $30 more a month. But if gas gone up, grocery gone up, the rent gone up, insurance gone up, to a total affecting you of $70 a month, you still feel poorer. So yes, you got a $30 raise a month, but your bills went up $70.
And this is why.
So you feel $40 poorer.
Yeah, there's a continuous cry for a minimum.
That's correct.
To increase.
So to answer his question about housing, the reason he's saying that pent-up demand is because people can't afford market-based prices of houses. So they flock to the government, who is going to give them essentially a subsidized home, which is why we're never going to be able to meet that demand. One, because it's too expensive for the government to afford it. Two, there's a limited availability of land that the government is going to allocate to affordable housing. And thirdly, you still have to pay the builders to build the houses, and they're still subject to the same material costs that everybody else is subject to.
So what I hear you saying then is that the government is simply digging a deeper hole and giving people a false perception that you could afford a home.
No, they are creating an artificially lower mortgage payment so that you can afford a home.
Yeah, but how long could you sustain that?
No, that's what I'm saying.
Because you're boring still to allow this to take place. Exactly, so that's right. Why I'm saying you're telling lies, but that's you're still digging
right.
The deeper hole.
That's exactly right. So what we have to do is adjust the model overall. So if you think about housing, I am not necessarily a fan of the way a lot of governments do housing. Mm-hmm. I think the government should look at rate subvention programs. I know that's a big fancy word.
No,
All that simply means is we say those that qualify for government subvention home, they would pay 2% mortgage instead of the market rate of 5 or 7%. That allows them to lower their payment and they can go buy whatever house they can afford at a 2% mortgage.
We all would like that.
Okay. So it's a lot cheaper for the government because the government essentially buys down the market rate on behalf of the homeowner. So you get together with all of the commercial banks and you develop, this is a cost that you can model and calculate. You pay that amount of money, so that's the subsidy that you're providing directly to the financial institution that's providing the mortgage.
And that's not in place right now?
No, that's not in place right now. So you still have to qualify for the mortgage. You still have to pay your mortgage on time. But the government is not in the business anymore of building a home. You go and look in the market just like you do, but you now can afford an $150,000 home. So that gets you into neighborhoods, certain parts of Carmichael, maybe some parts of Adelaide, some of the older homes in Golden Gates. So you can at least get in places in nice neighborhoods where you're able to afford now a home.
So why do you feel the government hasn't looked at this as yet?
Well, that's a different conversation. I think that the reason why that the government may not do that is because the government doesn't get as much kudos, if you will. It's not as the public relations around it is not as heavy, significant as it is when you go see a ribbon cutting ceremony and I'm me handing over keys.
But is it possible that the government itself owes the same banks that they meet up with the conversation with?
Sure.
And if they owe the banks themselves, then how could they go ahead?
It's also possible that Bahamians are not paying their mortgages to the Bahamas Mortgage Corporation.
Of course.
So that the government says, why am I going to continue to put more money into this program when we are not behaving as good stewards, paying our mortgages on time?
But we can't pay the mortgages on time because we have a high cost of living.
Okay. So you prioritize the things that are important to you. So if your mortgage is not important to you, I would question whether or not you should have been one of those persons to get that home.
You know, I'm listening to you. I have goosebumps just even listening to you. Like I said, I'm not I have a master's degree in business, but we're going at a deeper level when we talk about economics.
Yes.
And I'm listening to you, and I'm saying to myself, we're in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm just saying, those three words, we are in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Four words, we're in trouble. And the reason why I say we're in trouble is because, as you said, that the cost of living is going up. The government is attempting to appease its citizenry.
Yes.
The government itself is in trouble, and we're depending on the government to get us out of trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And it almost seems to me as if the trouble continues to get worse, but everyone keeps coming into politics every 5 years and saying to us that it's going to be better, hope is on the way, help is on the way, we're stronger together, we're better together, we're all together, and the only thing that I'm really seeing here right now is that we are desperately fighting for sovereignty.
Well, we're desperately fighting in some ways for survival.
Yeah, because if we don't survive, then there's no sovereignty.
That's correct.
And that's what I keep telling people. I even spoke with my good brother-in-law last night. I'm trying to tell him that I don't believe we're as independent as we say that we are. Mm-hmm. We got issues because if you're borrowing money, the borrower is a slave to the lender.
Indeed, yes.
So we are a slave to other people because we ourselves are not producing.
Well, we're a slave to other people because we ourselves are not prudent financial managers. Forget producing. That's a different conversation. You don't have to grow a single potato or lettuce in the country and still not be running a deficit. That's not the reason why we're running a deficit.
Why do you think we're running a
deficit? We're running a deficit because of poor fiscal management. That's the bottom line.
So, okay, the average Bahamian says, what are we spending the money on?
Okay, I'm glad you asked that question. So I'm going to break this down for people because I don't believe that Bahamians are aware. The budget communication, for example, from the Prime Minister this week is 238 pages long.
238?
Yeah.
You check that out.
The average Bahamian is not reading that.
Oh, they ain't checking for that.
Okay. So you just look at the summary tabs. Those are the more important budgets. The rest of it is really the detail of the summary. Mm-hmm. So we're just going to talk about the summary at a high level just to contextualize the conversation. If I were to ask you, my good friend, where do you think, and I'm going to do this in two ways. One, I'm going to do this by ministry, and then I'm going to talk about our budget by category. Okay? Which ministry? This your homework now. This I'd be going back to school
today.
But I think
I'm good at guessing. Okay. But go ahead.
Which ministry has the highest budget allocation in your estimation? Which ministry?
I would say it's between the Ministry of Works and the Ministry of Education.
Okay.
Or possibly health.
That's your final answer.
One of the three, yes.
Okay.
One of the three.
Can I respectfully say that you're wrong?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Okay. So, we have a budget of around $3.1
billion.
Calculate, Bahamians. I hope you all are listening. This is every year. This is annually. This is our annual budget.
So, repeat that number again.
About $3.1 billion, based on our 24-25 estimates.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay? Mm-hmm. $376 million of that is with the Ministry of Public Service.
Is that the highest?
That's the highest.
I do understand the government may have about some 20,000 employees that they have to pay
every
month.
That's where the bulk of that is in.
Well, that's where the money goes.
The Ministry of Public Service, because you are a public service employee.
Wait a minute, you cheated on me just now.
No, man, I ain't cheat, man.
No, because why? Because works, education, are all civil servants.
Yeah, I get to that.
But I thought you was talking about the ministry itself.
That's the ministry itself. But remember, there's salaries.
Those three ministries are tied into that one ministry.
Yes, in certain respects, yes.
Yeah.
Okay?
So you got me.
That's fine. That's why it is trivia. All right.
Jesus Lord.
So the second one.
See what he's offering me.
That's fine. The second one, $346 million, is the Ministry of Finance.
$346
million, yeah. The Ministry of Finance.
How so? Why so?
I'm just telling you. So $346 million is the Ministry of Finance.
Okay.
So what's in that category?
The first one was what again? Three what?
The first one is $376 million.
376.
Yes. Second one is 346, Ministry of Finance. Now we start to get to the ones that you are more familiar with. Ministry of Health and Wellness. And when the Ministry of Health and Wellness is $332 million. That's number three.
I know one of them is the highest.
Yeah, okay. Now, if you want to add the Department of Public Health to that, that would make it number one because that's $52 million if you want to calculate like that. Because that would make it about $380 million between those two entities.
So I could have been right.
You could have been right That's fine. They get like the teacher would say she could take that under advisement.
Yeah,
okay.
You can't give no F
okay.
For that.
No, I ain't giving you no F. No, okay, you're doing good.
All right.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Uh-huh. Now some of the more popular ones. Uh-huh. Ministry of Tourism.
Yes.
Is not as big as you would think.
No.
Their budget is only $131 million.
I could see why.
Okay. Ministry of Education. I think I heard you say.
Yes.
Also was one that you expected to be a big one.
How much is that?
Ministry of Education is $209 million. The Department of Education is another. The Department of Education is $209 million. The Ministry of Education, Technical and Vocational Training is $123 million. So combined, that's about $330 million.
Yeah, man, I know. I own the money.
All right.
Okay, go ahead.
But can I tell you this?
Go ahead.
You know what takes up the lion's share of the budget and is not a ministry?
God's sake, tell us.
Okay. $676 million of the budget is interest.
$676 million.
So you take the two largest ministries combined, and that's what our interest payment on our
Darvin Russell,
on our multi-billion dollar national
debt. I don't know if the people heard that. Mm-hmm. I got to throw these numbers out. Mm-hmm. You got to tell me how that makes you feel because that gives me goosebumps. 323-6232. 325-4316, 325-4259, anywhere from the family of Ireland, 300-5720, or you can text us at 422-4796, 422-4796 if you want to give us a text. So Alvin Russell, that frightens me.
It should frighten you. It should frighten every Bahamian. You're talking about 20% of the national budget goes to interest payments alone. Alone. So what that means, let me put that into context. What that means is, that means that $670 million every year that can't go to better health care, that can't go to better public transportation, that can't go to new schools and improve learning outcomes, that can't go to enhance our police and defense forces, that can't go to immigration.
$676
million.
$676 million.
Yes.
It's interest.
Yes.
So the question now, Darwin Russell, you put a system in called VAT that's supposed to take care of this.
That's correct.
But a continuous increase?
Yes.
Because of a consolidated fund?
No, because we're spending more than we're taking in. Remember, it doesn't matter that you bring in $1 billion a year in VAT if you still spend 1.2.
What are we spending this money on?
Okay, I just gave you the big categories.
Yeah, but we don't see it there.
Okay, then that's a different conversation. So then I would ask the listeners to tell us which ministry they want to cut.
If you had to cut a ministry.
I go wait for the switchboard to light up.
Well, they can get a break, man. No, I gotta let this thing digest. My God.
I can wait.
No, because this thought is the about problem. This before. Yeah. I thought about this before, but I gotta take a break on that.
No, take a break. Take a break. I ain't going nowhere.
Are these people listening to what you
say? I hope they listening. This is the problem. This is why governments continue to do what they do, because the people themselves say they want cuts. But then when you cut something that impacts them directly, all of a sudden, they ain't want that. What they want is more benefit. They don't want more sacrifice. We'll be back.
On the go? Missed the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
All those loans I had were so overwhelming. Fidelity's debt consolidation loan combined all my loan payments into one easy payment with a built-in savings plan that pays me unbeatable interest. It's time to make that move to Fidelity. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Everybody Wins Live is bringing you the ultimate giveaway, a brand new Cybertruck. For every $30 spent, you're in the drawing for the ultimate grand prize, a Cybertruck. Drawn live at the Vibes Cartel concert March 29th. You'll also be automatically entered to win tickets to see the world boss himself. 25 lucky winners every single week. Visit everybodywinslive.com to get into the game. See website for full terms and conditions. Must be 18 or over to participate.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Streaming on GuardianTalkRadio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.
I tell you, I needed that pickup from Wally. We're here at Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on a beautiful, breezy Sunday afternoon going into a nice, cool evening. But I'm telling you, the news that we're getting tonight, if you never understood why our country struggles the way it does, you need to tune in. You need to have your family, your friends, your loved ones tune in to the show today. Because right now, politically, as we speak, we are in upheaval. It's confusing at this particular time for many people as to which way to go, whether to have the government now remain to manage our finances, whether to allow another party to come in and handle our financial situation. I do believe this whole conversation about fiscal management is long overdue. We need the brightest minds within the country to come together and figure this out. We need the Bay Street Boys and the Sunshine Boys, and we need the Valley and the Saxon and everybody to come together to figure out what the heck is going on. I mean, it's only 400,000 of us, and you're telling me that we cannot find a way to balance our budget, or even better yet, to have a surplus. Mm-hmm. You have unlimited resources in terms of fish in the sea that can somehow we can energize our young people and just have a thriving fishing industry throughout the archipelago. We have sand that is dumped into the tongue of the ocean on an hourly, almost a minute basis, and you're telling me we cannot take this beautiful sand, aragonite, and turn it into some type of resource to help with our fiscal situation. You're telling me that with all the wisdom, the ability that we have in this country, someone cannot sit, you know, with the Gilbert Morrises, who's a great mind in this country, the lady from the airport, from that, Ms. Joaquin, people like her. You got Sands over there at Bama. I mean, we got people in this country who understand business, and you're telling me you cannot get a team together to figure this out? We're hearing about woes in the University of the Bahamas having to pay bills and falling short. We're finding that road construction is falling short. We're finding out that when it comes to the maintenance of infrastructure, and governmental buildings, we're falling short. You're telling me the governor's building homes, and I want you to listen to this, Darwin Russell. You're building homes for your citizenry, but you can't build offices for the ministries that you propose to us. We got to rent buildings at $52,000 a month because you have not built a proper office even for ourselves.
More like $120 million a year.
I'm like, what in the world is going on in our fiscal management? You got to be a part of this conversation. 323-6232-325-4316, 325-4259, anywhere from the family of Ireland, 300-5720, or you can text at 422-4796. Darwin Russell, you asked a question. I only wish someone could call in and tell us which of these ministries to cut.
Which one?
You know, if I can just list a few of them.
Go ahead.
We have the Ministry of Tourism.
Okay.
We have the Ministry of Works. We have the Ministry of
Education. National Security.
We have National Security. We have Environmental Health. We have Youth and Sports and Culture. We have Social Services.
Ministry of Health.
We have the Ministry of Health. Those are some of the major
the ones,
right?
Yeah.
Ministry of Local Government.
Finance.
The Ministry of Finance. I just listed about 10 of them just a while ago.
That's correct. So, remember now, I said that we're going to break it down by ministry, which is what we started off before the break. So let's look at it now by expense category.
Okay. I know which one I'll cut.
Okay. Which one?
Not that it's not important.
No, put your vote in.
I look it over at Wally to see what his reaction could be.
Put your vote in.
You want me to put it in?
Yeah, man.
I can cut environmental health because he ain't doing nothing.
He ain't doing nothing.
Wally, look, are you ready to hang up on me?
That's $60 million. That's $61
million. That's $60
million,
I just say.
Yeah.
Because I believe that every Bahamian should be aware of the environment, and we can take care of our own environment.
Okay.
What if we just decided that we're going to make sure that our environment is clean and pristine ourselves?
Okay.
Could we save $60 million or cut that number down to maybe $15, $20 million a year?
Okay.
I would start there.
Okay.
Caller, go ahead, caller.
Yes, good afternoon, God, and good afternoon, guests.
Good afternoon, my brother.
I hear y'all talking about debt and slavery.
Yes.
And, then, and God said something about the borrower is
slave to the lender. Yes, sir.
Yeah, but my thing is that this is the what they call neo-colonialism.
Mm-hmm.
This is the new form of slavery, mm-hmm. new form of like large smaller nation.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Through debt and different things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Before I make my God, I heard you mention sand. Sand should never be a resource. Sand is not as sustainable as we think it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? If we really need to think about where sand comes from, how long it takes to
create it,
to accumulate, mm-hmm. you know, stuff like that, we realize that sand is not something that we should be playing with.
It's not infinite.
If you look at certain countries where they have been exporting sand,
mm-hmm.
even from the rivers and different things, river banks and different things, it leads to land erosion. Mm-hmm. It leads to beach erosion, because when you dig a big old hole, no matter where you dig it in the ocean, that hole has to be filled in. So what happens is it drags in sand from surrounding areas. So if you keep digging, keep digging, keep digging, keep digging, you're going to keep, the sand is going to keep, washing out into the sea, and the land is going to continue to disappear. And I believe that's why they keep talking about the Bahamas is going to disappear soon, because I saw our prime minister, I was very worried when I saw our prime minister
mm-hmm.
Up in the Middle East, Dubai and different things, places where I know they depend on sand,
mm-hmm.
you know, where there's heavy, heavy construction and development of land using sand and all type of different things. Mm-hmm. And the first thing I thought when I saw our prime minister up in that area is sand.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I saw pictures and different things where people have been documenting where there are individuals dredging sand in our waters.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that kind of way. So, yes. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if we have big sand operations mm-hmm. already going on out there and we don't know about it, you know what I mean? Because that's how our government operates.
Yes.
But when it comes to this debt thing,
mm-hmm.
This debt is going to destroy us.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and the thing about it is that we have it where our debt is increasing, but our revenue is shrinking. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
We are getting rid of all of the things that generates revenue.
Now, when you say our revenue, let's be clear now, because we want to educate the people. Are you saying the government's revenue or the revenue of the country?
Well, when I say our revenue, I mean, I'm talking about like when BTC was in public hands.
Okay. Okay.
And when it made money, it yes. was our revenue.
Yes. So they pay a dividend of about $20 million a year now that contributes toward the budget. But you're exactly right. If you have a for-profit corporation that is owned by the government, the dividends that accrue from that for-profit corporation goes as a subvention to taxation on your citizens. You are absolutely correct.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So what I'm trying to say now is that we have given up sole ownership
mm-hmm.
of those entities.
Mm-hmm.
So now the full revenue or the full monies that are collected from those revenues
yes,
don't
sir.
Go to us anymore.
That's correct.
You know, that kind of way. So we are in a position where we are slipping and falling into the debt without remedy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, that kind of you look around and you don't see anyone any kind of lifeline that we could grab onto. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I mean nothing.
Mm-hmm.
You know the kind of. And I'm glad that God was the way He expressed the shock of the numbers. I think mm-hmm. you called $600 million.
Yes, $676 million. Yes, sir.
You know what I mean? So I mean, you know, we're in trouble, people.
Mm-hmm.
You know the kind of way. And the thing about it is that the monies that they borrow,
mm-hmm.
they don't even invest them in ways that can generate funds. You know what I mean? It seems as if when they borrow money, stipulations are placed on the funds. Where they are only allowed to take, do capital works and different things like that, as opposed mm-hmm. to investing the money into things that would generate funds. So like when I look at it, our leaders are actually like sabotaging the nation.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because the decisions that they make are continuously leading us into a place of no return.
Yes.
You know, and what bothers me is that it's like, I mean, see, like the gentleman, like you right now in the studio right now. So
yes, sir.
You know the seriousness or the serious nature that our country is involved
mm-hmm.
in right now.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I would love to see men like yourself, men like God, take to the street.
Mm-hmm.
You know the kind of way? Mm-hmm. Or let's go and get the public together. Let's get some lawyers together. And let us take legal action against the government in some kind of way, because we can't just sit back and allow these individuals to ruin the future of the children in this country, mm-hmm. right? I mean, you understand where I'm coming from?
I do.
I mean, it's like I don't understand how for decades that we have allowed this thing to go on mm-hmm. when we have intellectuals in this country who know what's going on. I mean, and the first thing I think to myself is that these intellectuals must be getting paid to like go along with the planet, because if it was me, a man like me, sir, right? And if I had the influence and the networking or whatever the case would be, mm-hmm. I'd have been raised in hell in this country. Mm-hmm. You understand? I would have been trying to take every legal action there is to not only make the government transparent and reveal mm-hmm. every detail of every decision that they make, et cetera, because I don't understand for the life of me how we could elect men for 5 years who on the street and they don't really know nothing. Mm-hmm. And then when they get in the house, they could go in the cabinet and talk about what they talk about, and there's a secret. Mm-hmm. I mean, that baffles me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I feel as if, just like how we have a camera inside the House of Assembly, mm-hmm. we should have a camera in cabinet. Because I don't understand what it is that you could be talking about.
Yes.
That is our business, mm-hmm. that we can't be privy to. Mm-hmm. I don't understand it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Me, like if I was a prime minister, I'd have a camera right there, boom. Mm-hmm. Listen, so the whole country could watch me speak to these people so they could know where I stand mm-hmm. or whatever the case would be. What do I have to hide?
Yes.
What do I have to hide?
Interesting.
What do I have to hide?
Interesting proposals, my brother. Thank you for your call.
What do I have to hide? See, these are the things mm-hmm. that I want the public intellectuals of this country mm-hmm. to start to demand. You understand? Because mm-hmm. Because to me, I feel stupid, mm-hmm. right, to know that we elect individuals, right, mm-hmm. to carry this country in a positive direction, and they continually take the country in a negative direction. Mm-hmm. We paying people to ruin the country.
Yes, yes. You understand
where I'm coming from?
Yes, sir.
And that foolishness about waiting 5 years mm-hmm. to vote them out is nonsense, because if I have a job, if I was a MP and I got voted in for 5 years, right? Mm-hmm. I'm only expecting to be in there for 5 years. Mm-hmm. So at the end of my 5 years, if y'all don't vote me back no more, y'all ain't really fire me.
Yeah, yeah.
My contract is up. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So that's no real punishment for me. Let's get. I want to see people start to go to jail. You understand? Mm-hmm. I want to see these MPs be forced to each and every question that they put to us out in the world. We could put a microphone in their face and ask them questions that relate to our business, mm-hmm. and they could tell us they can't answer us right now, that the ink, when the ink dry,
yes,
that
sir.
They could answer us, man. I mean, that ink must be soaking in the water. Mm-hmm. That's some never dry ink, because we never get no answers.
And
you have a good day, gentlemen.
Yeah, my brother. Listen, yeah, man.
Boy, you off the chain. You got to come join us one of these days on the set, man. We got to, leave your name and number with the producer, so we could go ahead and introduce you to the Bahamas. You got a whole lot to say. And this is the hottest show on Sunday. So much things to say on the program. Remark, Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Darwin, you want to give some response to what the caller said a while ago?
Yeah, these are all weighty matters that he's bringing up. And you know, he brings up a tremendous amount of valid points. I think our response is what is more important. Like, how do we respond? How do we protect our own interests? Where do we go from here? And I think it requires men and women of stature, standard, integrity, more of them to offer themselves for leadership in this country, so that we can do a better job of fiscally managing our country's affairs.
Is there space for that?
Absolutely. I believe there's space for it, but the public has to demand it, right? They have to be the ones
that take an
active.
I'm not sure they're ready for that. Do you think they're ready for that?
I believe they're ready for it. I think it's a matter of, I think our processes sometimes are opaque. So I think Bahamians on average struggle as to how they can influence the decision of who leads them. I think sometimes
the Bahamian question is who you think you is. And
sure.
If you ain't nobody of name or recognition politically, they don't want to hear from you.
Yeah.
I think this has been a problem in our country.
Yeah.
What I liked what the caller said, though, he spoke about that sand idea mm-hmm. and about exhausting the sand.
Mm-hmm.
Many resources around the world can be exhausted. There's not an unlimited or limitless supply of any particular resource.
Mm-hmm.
But even as we stretch that, you're looking at even our forestry, you're looking at the calcium carbonate, all of our limestone is being eroded in this country,
mm-hmm.
and you can actually see the struggle to survive.
Yes.
And still yet we're falling in a deficit.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you are fighting for your own survival,
sure.
and we continue to bring the same people to the surface every 5 years mm-hmm. who mismanage mm-hmm. or who have no vision. I think vision is a big thing, but they talk about it all the time. Oh, we have a new vision. Oh, we're going to bring to you the hope of the decade or the hope of the last 50 years. And one of the things that bothered me about this whole idea of hoping and doing better in the next electoral cycle, I said as much respect as we give to Sir Lyndon Pinning, the father of the nation.
Yes.
It doesn't seem to me as if we want to do better than he did. Everyone is okay. seemingly wanting to be just below what he offered to us because he is the father, he's up there, okay. and we are the children, so we're never supposed to supersede all that he has accomplished. And I stand to be different. Mm-hmm. I stand to say that a father always wants his children to go higher than he ever was.
Yes, a good father.
A mother always wants her children to just excel greater than she has ever excelled. Mm-hmm. If we continue this notion that we have to be just subservient to all that Sir Lyndon Pinning has put in place, we'll continue to suffer. And so this whole economic model that you're speaking about, who is the new leader, or what I would call the modern father of the nation, who's going to take us into a new era of fiscal greatness? I just want to know, do we really want that?
Sure. I think it's absolutely what we want. I think it's a matter of rising to the occasion, right? But here's what I will say. I do believe that just like I tell my female friends, when you're looking for a husband, that should be the same way you're looking for a politician.
What?
Never believe what a man says, only what he does. We
no,
get
no, no,
to
hold
judge.
On. No. You got a daughter, right? You got a daughter, right?
I tell her the same thing.
You tell your daughter that?
I do.
Would you tell your daughter again?
Do not believe what a man says, only believe what he does.
And so when he comes to your door, you won't believe what he says?
No, not at all. Not at all. No, because it feels like sometimes men, we born to lie.
What?
No. You demonstrate a man that's a good quality man does the right thing, not says he's going to do the right thing. He does the right thing.
Okay, so.
So when you are evaluating a politician, one who has been there before, he has a record. He has a record of what he said he would do, and he has a record of what he did. You can judge him on those things. Whether you deem it to be fair or unfair, you get to judge him on those things.
Okay, so
because in business, we are judged on our performance, not on what we said we might have possibly done in the future. We are judged on what we did. That's how you have to judge a politician. What did you do? You promised you would do X. Why didn't you do it? And if he can give you a cogent, intelligent, sensible explanation that satisfies you, then you give him another opportunity. If he doesn't, then you vote him out. It is that simple. It does not require a bunch of hullabaloo. That is not necessary. If we see every time you sit in Parliament, these numbers I didn't pull out of the ether. These are provided by the Bahamas government. It's not hidden from us what the money is being spent on. It's right there. If you choose to educate yourself, it is right there. So it doesn't matter to me that you plan to build another hospital, plan to build an airport, plan to fix the roads, plan to build a house. Did you build the hospital? Did you build the airport? How many houses did you build? Roads did you fix? That is all that matters, Garth.
You're stepping on my toes a bit, and I'll tell you why. One of my greatest interests on this island of New Providence, where I was born and I grew up. I now live in the western side of New Providence.
Yes, sir.
Do you know that the children of the Western District have to catch a bus early in the morning? I'm talking about like 6, 7 o'clock in the morning. They got to be out there on the bus.
Yes, sir.
To catch a bus and taken to school all the way to Anatole Rogers.
Okay.
You see how much land is in between
there and Anatole Rogers. Yes, I do.
Anatole Rogers.
Yes, I do.
Yes, if it wasn't for the decent bus drivers to ensure that those children got home safely,
yes.
Do you see how many issues and problems could take place between Anatole Rogers and the Western District?
Yes, sir.
If we didn't have good bus drivers like my good friend B. Curry, you know, from Curry Bus Service, I just want to give you a shout out today, B. Curry, for the work that you do, because he actually drives them himself.
Yes.
You know, we had an issue in the past where they had an issue with a bus driver and a young schoolgirl in Adelaide.
Mm-hmm.
And Garth, you know what? We cannot allow that to happen any further. Mm-hmm. So he actually owns the bus service.
Yes.
But he drives those children himself.
Yes.
And this is what taking responsibility is all
like.
About.
Yeah, that's what leadership looks like.
So in this whole fiscal conversation you're talking about, maybe we need to be like B. Curry.
Yes. Not a man who, what? What did he do? He did the thing. He didn't talk about doing the thing. That's my point. He did it. He didn't form a committee.
No, he didn't.
To do it.
He got one of his buses and said, this bus is allocated in the morning to take these children safely to school and to bring them back home in the evening.
Okay. You are or are not a good father. You are or are not a good husband. Not by what you say to your wife and your children, by what you have done for your wife and your children.
So why can't politicians build a school in the Western District?
Well, now, see.
The population is increasing. They're putting new houses out there. How can you put houses there? There's no infrastructure for hospitals. There's no infrastructure for schools.
So now you're asking very layered questions, right?
I'm just talking about this whole item. No,
it's simple. It's a simple question, but not a simple answer.
But are we going to get it in the right place?
Okay, now that's the right question.
That's what I want to
ask. So the study of economics says, how do we allocate our limited resources to unlimited needs, wants, and desires?
My God, you got to repeat that again.
So the study of economics, that's the definition of what economics is. The allocation of resources against unlimited needs and wants. The public, the citizenry, is going to want everything.
Yes.
You want a school. You want a hospital. Everybody want a school and a hospital. That's what our family island brothers and sisters complain about all the time. Why are y'all always treating us like stepchildren?
They need fire engine.
They need hospitals. They need an airport. And on the surface, that these are reasonable requests. How are we going to pay for them?
But everything is not money.
Okay. So
everything is not money, though.
No, everything. Money answers all things. And I knew you're my Bible.
It does, but yes, you know, a friend is better than money.
It is.
And if we were the politicians that we were able to woo people like how we had Judy Rudiani come down here as a friend of the Bahamas.
Yes.
These are people who are friends who could say, you know what, I want to donate an ambulance, I want to donate a fire engine.
But ain't plenty of people donating hospital.
But you can find them, though.
Yes, you can.
You've been to Dubai with all them rich people. I bet you they'll give you one.
They may.
You've been to Africa. I bet you they have some rich Africans who may do one for you.
They may.
So where is the foreign services and the foreign affairs and the ambassadors who are out there who are supposed to have the discipline and supposed to have the ability and connections to say, you know what? My country is desiring a hospital.
Yes, sir.
Are you willing to help facilitate? That's what their job is. Mm-hmm. Instead, we have them eating caviar and Dom Perignon and all that other nonsense. We're not interested in that.
Yes.
We want to build a country, and everything is on money. Yes. We need to make friends with the world.
Yes.
That's how I feel.
Yes. So that is a different foreign ministry strategy. That's a different kind of outreach, right? The prime minister, when he goes around the country or around
feeding
the world.
Feeding the friggin' monkeys.
So you have to seek grant money and not more loan money in order to do some of those things. But let's answer your question. So how do you fund it? That requires a different model. Mr. Christie, in his previous administration, said that he had an ICA project model, which was, I'm going to put some type of investment, usually a hotel, on each of these strategic islands.
I think that's a good idea.
And he believes that it's going to generate enough economic activity, or they even take a portion of the profits and do some of these social things, right?
Yes.
In you could argue whether or not it was a good policy or a bad policy.
It's just a good idea.
But it was a good idea, okay? It never came to fruition through no necessarily fault only of his own, but it was a good idea.
Regime change.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So, and of course, you had the 2007-08 crisis, financial crisis. So there were a lot of things that were at play. Be that as it may, I believe in looking at things as they are and pivoting from that point. So I talked, we talked prior to the break about the ministries and how they break down. So let's talk about the category. So you'll see exactly why this is more difficult than it appears on the surface.
Please tell us.
Okay. We said it was $700+ million. That is spent, or $676 million that was spent on interest, right?
Just on interest alone.
For interest.
That's money gone out the window.
Money gone out the window. So here's why it's a challenge to reallocate these resources for investment, as our brother who called said, or to do anything more strategic. Because you can see the money ain't really there.
It ain't there?
No, it ain't there. So $676 million went to interest, we said.
Okay.
$767 million is wages and salaries alone.
Yeah, you got to pay the government people.
Okay. The next big category, subsidies of $412 million.
Subsidies.
That means corporations that lose money, That means the government giving away something that they don't expect a return for.
Yes.
$411 million. Mm-hmm. Okay? The next big category that they have, social benefits. You're doing something you don't expect any return for. That's $252 million. Utilities, another $100 million. Rent, another $120 million. Mm. The government literally has, of this whole $3.2 billion budget, only 10% of it, $306 million, is spent on actual services. Meaning services that are provided to the government by outside vendors, right? So even if you cut that completely, you don't spend another dime, you're still only saving $306 million. As long as you continue to pay the civil servants, nobody go home. As long as you continue to pay your utilities, as long as you continue to fund those subsidies, as long as you continue to pay for all of your interest expense, as long as you do those basic functions of government, there is very little flex to do other things.
You see the big issue here, right?
Yes.
You see it?
I do.
You see why the unions cry?
Yes.
And you see why the government has to play as if they can't
hear? I do.
The government has to say, they're not saying anything to us because mm-hmm. the government realizes that we're in a deeper hole than you think.
That's correct.
But you have the teachers union, the workers union.
Yes, sir.
And all these other unions saying, you know what? Where's the money you promised us?
That's
the
correct.
Doctors are asking for their money. The nurses are asking for their monies.
Yes.
Immigration's asking for monies. Yes. Customs is asking mm-hmm. for monies. And then the minute you attempt to, as it were, medicate the services by bringing in almost 500 retirees, mm-hmm. people say, but see that money right there?
That's correct. They are right to ask those questions. They are right to ask those questions.
But the government's saying, I need those people to function.
How you need them when you're spending all this money on the existing civil service. There's something wrong with that. That's an incongruency. So I just pulled out one statistic, for example. The United Nations says that you should have, for example, 250 odd police officers per 100,000 population. We could do simple math tonight. Mm-hmm. 400,000 people means we should have 1,000 police officers. We have 4,000.
We have 4,000.
Four times the amount of the global average. Per capita of police officers.
Most of them on this one island.
Most of them are on New Providence.
And we still have a crime problem.
So what does that say to you?
We're putting the money in the wrong
place.
I'll tell you what it says to me, though.
It could be a multitude of things. It could be that. It could be that there are too many persons in leadership and not on the street policing. There could be a multitude. But I don't draw that to cast blame on the policymakers. I'm just using that as an example to show you if we are benchmarking against other countries to try to see where there may be opportunities for adjustment, we have to do exercises like this to see where our money can be better allocated.
I don't think they're paying attention to those things.
Okay.
Caller on the line. Go ahead, caller.
Okay.
Go ahead, caller.
You're on the air.
Yes. Hey, how you doing? It's Alan Johnson.
Hey, buddy. How are you?
You got some statistics for me today?
if you want it. I joined you late, right? But I want to just, I got five quick points, right?
Go ahead.
And the first one is, a problem properly defined is 90% of the solution. Mm-hmm. The 10% is the action. The problem is we are excellent at linguistic contortionism mm-hmm. and confrontations, but we very, very little often we do not define the problem. Mm-hmm. We say, we have an education problem. Mm-hmm. But exactly what is the problem? Mm-hmm. I'm not going to go into the full details, but just as a short dissertation, we have an education that's rooted in the 20th century mm-hmm. that ignores the technological advancement, that does not address a national development plan because mm-hmm. none exists, that you have a structure that is antiquated, a plantation that is not facilitative to a learning environment. And you begin to state those, and then you begin to look at each one of them to mm-hmm. see how do you solve those problems.
Sure.
But we often just simply say, we have a problem. Mm-hmm. Now, I think you told God that money solves all things. Mm-hmm. And I just want to tell God he learned something right here. Mm-hmm. A good name is the only thing more valuable than gold. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, let me explain what that is. when you don't have cash, like I go to the store and I didn't have my wallet with me, and I spoke to the manager with a cart full of over $100 worth of groceries and said to him, I'll bring this back later today, right? Because mm-hmm. I don't want to come back and redo the cart. And he says, not a problem. Mm-hmm. Okay? Mm-hmm. See, so what I'm saying is that you notice that the name was more valuable than my money. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's something we as a country have not developed.
Okay.
To make people attracted to us because they can take our word that whatever resources they give or whatever it is, mm-hmm. they have an expectation of it happening. Mm-hmm. Now, guys, you also mentioned something about the anchor projects. You know, and let me tell you why an anchor project is garbage. Mm-hmm. It is garbage because it expects us to warm ourselves by somebody else's fire. Okay? And so we say, somebody going to come in and build an anchor project. It's the anchor project where we are building it. Well, it says, how do you eat an elephant compared to a grape? In the same way, a little bite, a bite at a time. And so when you say you're going to build a 3,000 mega project for Grand Bahama, mm-hmm. is a 3,000 mega project the same thing as 500 people with 6 units each spread out around and we own the same thing with a destination economy? Mm-hmm. And so the problem is we haven't defined, and I think one of you mentioned the word vision, so other people are having them build us. A vision is the ability to express the future in completeness mm-hmm. in the present. And no one, believe it or not, and I would challenge anyone, no one builds their vision. Somebody builds it for you. Mm-hmm. Like Elon Musk says, he had a vision of a car. He said a couple of weeks ago, I didn't even know this much parts went into it. And so the problem is that we individually and collectively mm-hmm. have not defined a vision for us. And so when we begin to talk about the natural resources again, the natural resources of the Bahamas is the untapped potential that lies within its people. Mm-hmm. And so, but it requires leadership to elicit that from us. Xavier Francis says, give me a child for the first 6 years of their life and it'll be everything that it wants to be. Mm-hmm. If you use the Matrix movie as an example, mm-hmm. the first 6 to 7 years is the programming of a child. And I can tell you this, you know, this is not bragging, it's the truth. My 8-year-old daughter is tested at the 8th grade. Mm-hmm. My 5-year-old daughter is tested at the 4th grade. Mm-hmm. And my 1-year-old son in the next year will probably be tested at the 1st grade. Mm-hmm. And because when you understand that which you are building, mm-hmm. then you can build it. But if you're building a shanty town, mm-hmm. and that's the problem that we have in the Bahamas, is no one, we talk about policies, we talk about a blueprint, we talk about these different things. These are ideas. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. These are not visions that express in detail. When I give you my vision, you should be able to stand in it. When I tell you, you know, it's like a blueprint for a house, mm-hmm. you notice that you may have a desire for a house that you want.
Yes.
But who builds it for you? Someone else does. Mm-hmm. And I think the problem is that we have been conditioned to not speak to the issues and the things we desire in context. And let me end with this one. You ask, how do we solve this problem, right? First of all, the civil servants survey, a digital survey was done. It says that we could achieve the same 25,000 civil servants, mm-hmm. not counting the other things that we have, these other services definition, like 52 weeks, temporary workers and casual workers. Yeah. We could do the same thing with 7,500 people. Mm-hmm. The question is, why haven't we developed an economy to allow these people, be bragging, we got another mm-hmm. 2,000 people we just made permanent and hiring young people. Why haven't we developed an economy that they must sit at the base of $300 a week in a government agency that where they must be taxed so they can be paid? It's a diminishing return. And here's how you solve it. You say, how do you bring the extra money? If you build a sustainable, inclusive ownership and opportunity economy in the Bahamas of simply $1 billion a year, $1 mm-hmm. billion dollars a year, mm-hmm. without counting the multiplier, the government gets to tax that mm-hmm. at 10%. That's your extra $100 million. And then when you begin to do the multiples, but we haven't done that. We have settled for the JOBS, which is just over broke suckers in the just over broke system.
I like it, T. Allen. I think you're on the money.
All we have to do is elevate the conversation and challenge people. When somebody says they have a vision, tell them, bring it, let's test it.
Not just simply say you have it.
Yeah, I like it.
You know, I listened to him just a while ago, Darvin, mm-hmm. and here's why I said the Anchor Project was a good idea. Mm-hmm. It was only because the level of thinking that we have expressed as a people would have necessitated such a jumpstart, is what I would call it. I'm not saying that that would have been the final idea that would propel us to the levels of Elon Musk and the rest of the global society. But we need to find something that can jumpstart the minds of our people, that they can begin to believe again that we can take care of ourselves.
And not only that, I mean, when I talked about Anchor Project, I just want people to understand, it doesn't necessarily mean it gets executed in the same way in which it was proposed.
Of course.
So for me, I don't have a problem or any difficulty with the Anchor Project being Bahamian-owned. My proposal had nothing to do with it being a foreign-owned Anchor Project. And I understand C. Allen's analogy about having somebody else buy a fire that somebody else built. Mm-hmm. But that wasn't what we were having a conversation around. Look, how do you deal with these smaller economies in the context of providing these social services, and how would we do that? And the whole point was have the partnership, and as a part of their social outreach, they fund that. But his points are valid, but I just want us to understand that there are solutions to these problems that exist within the hearts and minds. I would have liked for C. Allen to have been able to expound on the transition in his mind. If he takes only 7,500 civil servants, I believe the number right now is we have about 20,000 of them.
20,000 plus.
Plus, okay. Uh-huh. So what happens to the other 13,500? And who is the prime minister who is going to get rid of the 13,500, right? How do you make that transition?
I like it.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
I like it.
That's the level of conversation we have to have.
But, I like it.
But great contribution.
I love it. We have time for just one or two more calls, but we got to take a quick break. But let me throw those numbers out to you very quickly. 323-6232. 325-4316, 325-4259, anywhere from the family violence, 300-5720, or you can text at 422-4796. If you want to go ahead and sponsor any of our Guardian Radio talk shows, if you want to be a part of Remark and ensure that we continue to transmit wonderful programs as we're doing now, you can just go ahead and call 242-302-2300. We're going to take a little quick break, if we could, and we'll be right back.
Criminals are people accused of belonging to criminal
gangs. Leonardo Rocha, you're listening to The Newsroom from the BBC
Always
World
on the go.
Service.
Miss
Still
show,
to come, will the offer of a huge financial reward
anytime,
convince
anywhere,
couples
on
in
Spotify
a Chinese
and YouTube
city to
by
have
surfing
sex.
Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to GuardianTalkRadio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
All those loans I had were so overwhelming. Fidelity's debt consolidation loan combined all my loan payments into one easy payment with a built-in savings plan that pays me unbeatable interest. It's time to make that move to Fidelity. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Everybody Wins Live is bringing you the ultimate giveaway, a brand new Cybertruck. For every $30 spent, you're in the drawing for the ultimate grand prize, a Cybertruck. Drawn live at the Vibes Cartel concert March 29th. You'll also be automatically entered to win tickets to see the world boss himself. 25 lucky winners every single week. Visit EverybodyWinsLive.com to get into the game. See website for full terms and conditions. Must be 18 or over to participate.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM.
And today with your co-host, Darwin Russell. We're talking about money, we're talking about life, we're talking about a better Bahamas, and we're right here having a great time. We got Wally on the board today, great to see him again, and we had some great conversation with some of the folks that called in today, and I just want to say something to you today, Mr. Russell, Darwin Russell. People don't know much about you, but I know you are a person who is vying for government service at this particular time, probably in frontline politics. I'm not going to say which team that is, but I just want people to know that Darvin Russell is my friend, and I do believe that he is cut and capable and able to perform. I've never had an issue with his ethics or with his morals, and I think it's people like him that we need in frontline politics to begin to turn this country around. Once again, if you want to make a last-minute call in, we've got a few more minutes left here. Those numbers, again, are 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, anywhere from the Family of Ireland, 300-5720, or you can text at 422-4796. We got a call in the line. Go ahead, caller. Caller, go ahead.
Hello.
Go ahead, caller.
Go ahead, caller.
How you doing?
We're okay.
You know, I wanted to ask your thoughts on why we do not teach money in school.
Oh, this is Mr. Graham.
We teach economics.
We do. Mm-hmm.
We teach accounting.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't teach money.
Mm-hmm.
That is correct.
Not even in university.
Mm-hmm.
That is correct.
Why do you think that is?
I think that truthfully, I don't know if the powers that be recognize the wisdom of doing so.
Well, do you think it's because they want to keep us in a servitude, slave mindset of not understanding money, and only the few financial institutions and a few of the people that are ruling to understand some principles? Because there's poor, middle class, and rich ways of thinking about money.
Mm-hmm.
But we never teach, I don't think we'd ever teach in our public school system money, because we'd create some economic soldiers.
Yes.
And we'd have people that would never say 51% is the same as 49% and control when selling our assets without a referenda.
Sure.
So I'm going to leave you with that thought.
Mm-hmm. Appreciate you, my brother.
We should teach strategy, that's the game of chess, and money in schools. Anyway, you all have a good day.
Man, thank you for your contribution.
Thanks a lot, Graham Rutherford. Yeah, I think you had another call on the line, or we lost that call.
Because I think they dropped.
Oh, go ahead, next caller. Go ahead, caller.
Yes. Can I take 90 seconds? Hello?
Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
Yes. Oh, first of all, to answer Graham's question, money has no value. Mm-hmm. What you need to understand, the value of building the world comes from imagination, which is first built on intuition, curiosity, and brings you research, discovery, imagination, most creativity, ideation, prototype, and validation, creation, iteration, and optimization, and you have what is true innovation, bringing about digital transformation of the country. I could talk about that one day. I hear these things. But let me just speak concerning these things. You know, people, you see, when you say, the same thing for you, Graham. I say a fool can ask more questions in an hour than a wise man can answer in a year. But let's go to this concept of what you asked about, how do you do these things, I guess the individuals. We have had about 30 different things mentioned over the last 10 years.
Yes.
Digital economy, conceptual economy, knowledge economy, aquamarine economy, carbon economy, green economy, blue, orange, ocean, knowledge-based economy, data economy, platform economy, shared economy, silver economy, circular economy, climate economy, crypto economy, AI economy, technology economy, passion economy, gig economy.
So we have a lot of economies out there, availability and opportunity.
So, and you get fintech and regtech, suptech, proptech, healthtech, all these blockchain. If we with every single one of these things they mention is possible within the Bahamas, what if you just put 500 or 1,000 individuals and each one of these are subcategories? The problem is we have people who use buzzwords that never allows us to find our purpose, to develop our passion, and to begin to dream again.
So I will ask you one question, Siala, before I let you go, because I don't like we always talk about these things at very high level, and I think it lacks the granularity that's needed to educate the public. So if you have these 1,000 persons, where does the investment come from to fund the initiatives that you are proposing?
I challenge you to take my number and call me after this. Let me just tell you something. We talk about BlackRock recently, and I talked about this for almost a decade, something called tokenization.
Yes, sir.
And I'm going to be, my wife and I are going to be making an announcement shortly, right? You bring me anyone in the Bahamas who has the
You have the ability. Passion. You have the ability.
Yeah, no, I'm saying that. You know, we're going to make, that's what I'm saying, we're going to make the announcement. Here's what it says. Tokenization. BlackRock and others says anything in the world will, that can be tokenized will be tokenized by the year 2030. Mm-hmm. When I talked about this about 5-6 years ago, it was about $2 to $3 billion. Today, it's about $60 billion. It's estimated, you could Google this, to be $16 trillion by the year 2030. Mm-hmm. Because if you need $1 million, you just have to define your idea good enough to convince 1,000 people to give you $1,000 or 100 people to give you. And tokenization now allows that to happen. Tokenization eliminates banking, eliminates cross-border everything. All of these things that you hear talk about, digitization and cryptocurrency and everything, is based on the underlying concept of blockchain and tokenization. That's the problem. We have people that talk about surface. But let me just say this. You see people say they don't have housing? And I would really, you know, God, give me 15 minutes next week. Let me tell you how you can put everybody in a house, because right now 90% of the people in the Bahamas will never qualify for a home. But what tokenization does, it allows you to build a country as small of eyes and an experimental thing. But if you come and you say, bring an idea, and I just look at this, it's the three questions you must answer. Is the investment that you asked me to invest in equal to or greater than the amount you're asking for? Second question, is the income and upkeep equal to or greater than the revenue that you generate? Third question, is the next status? If you could answer those three questions, you will have 99% chance of
financing. All right, then. Thanks a lot, Thank Auntie you. Allen. Listen, I'm listening to this conversation, and here's my final thoughts, and I'm going to allow Darwin Russell to close the show off today with his final thought. Mm-hmm. But here's my final thought, and we're going to have to continue a conversation like this in the very near future. Maybe we can dedicate once a quarter to a show similar to this. If anyone wants to be a part of that, want to sponsor a show of this particular nature, 302-2300, 302-2300. You do not have to call in. You don't have to sit here with us, but you can contribute to educating the Bahamas on our fiscal responsibility as a nation. So that number again is 302-2300. My thought is that when you speak about fiscal responsibility, climbing out of the deficit, trying to gain a surplus, mm-hmm. it almost feels to me as if we are lifting the people of the Bahamas mm-hmm. to a point where they can truly be independent mm-hmm. in and of themselves. Mm-hmm. It almost seems to me as if we were to even dare to do so, mm-hmm. the fear of the politician is that they're going to lose the control mm-hmm. that they have held for so long. Mm-hmm. This hereditary control that they've had on us for 50 plus years, mm-hmm. where they've set themselves up to be nobility mm-hmm. over us who are nothing short of vassals, mm-hmm. servants, the scum of the earth. Mm-hmm. They only love us when it's time to vote. That's it. And after the voting time is finished, the few, they get the reward, and they live well off of our debt, mm-hmm. off of our borrowing. Mm-hmm. off of our deficit. Mm-hmm. They're living in the surplus, but we're carrying the load of the deficit and responsibilities of the country. That's how I feel.
Sure.
Go ahead, Darwin. That's Steve. You can close it off.
No, fantastic show tonight. Thanks, everybody who contributed to the show, and hopefully it was edifying to those who were able and had an opportunity to listen and contribute. So I don't want you to think that these problems are insurmountable. We are the state in our country where we can't do anything about them. We certainly can. I want us to take personal responsibility as individual voters in this nation. And as the folks come to your door, it's important for you to query them. This information is not hidden from us anymore. That budget communication was released by the Prime Minister for everybody to read. Information, all of the things that are talked about by some of the luminaries in the Bahamas, are there for you on Google. These things are searchable, facts and information. No one is keeping this information from you. So I encourage Bahamians to go and educate yourselves. Ask the right questions. Ask the heavy questions. Make the folks answer those questions. Hold the people accountable. Because you say, Garth, why is it that at the end of the day, the politician would want us to, they don't want to give us the information or provide us with the help because they would prefer for us to be ignorant of the thing. And I would say, if we demand a better politician, we will have a better country. And if we have a better country, because we have better citizens, it will force us to have better politicians.
Well, you know what I believe? I'm looking for the prime minister who doesn't have to be the minister of finance.
Okay.
Because apparently they don't know nothing but finance.
My lord, what a time.
Take care. Listen, man, this has been Remark. Guardian Radio 96.9 FM here. Want to give a thanks and shout out to all Guardian staff. And to you, the main people, for tuning in. Please let your family and friends know we'll be right back next week, 5 p.m., with Senator Darren Henfield. Let's talk about this immigration debacle throughout CARICOM. Let's get to the bottom of this, and let's continue to stay strong. Until next time, take care, mamas.